Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, After Buzzers? We are back with another episode of The Real Housewives of Potomac Season 3. And tonight we're discussing more tax problems, and Karen's hair. All this is coming right up. Talk to you soon.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
See, this is the dance you do when you're like in a very close quarter.
Wish I was doing it while I was drunk, though. That's my only, because I feel much better, but that's just me.
Welcome back to another episode of AfterBuzz TV. We are discussing The Real Housewives of Potomac Season 3, Episode 2. We got a lot to talk about, but I'm one of your hosts, DJ Richie Scott.
Hey, I'm Ronnie Jr. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, everyone. I'm Nigeria Manau.
There you go. And what you guys are listening to is Miss Cardi B, who is the talk of the town right now.
Yeah, and with that, I like it like that sample, though. Yeah. That, oh, I could get into that, too.
Yeah, I'm hoping that this is her next single, because I feel like it's universal. I feel like it speaks summertime. To everybody.
It does.
Right? Everyone needs that summer song.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. So, let's dive into this episode. How do we feel about this episode overall?
I feel like we, for me at least,
okay.
We have a character on this show.
Mm.
I didn't know it was possible to like a reality TV character so much, yet disagree with the move so much.
Yeah.
I've never even seen that, right? Because usually when you like a character, mm-hmm. it's because everything they represent, you're like, oh, cool. No, I was eating Karen up 100%. But I don't even know how to finish the sentence. But go ahead.
No, I'm interested because I'm going to follow up with that on something. But yeah. I want to hear yours too.
Overall, it was a really good episode. Mm-hmm. Karen is as crazy as a soup sandwich, but I'm here for it.
You see, same, right?
But a minute. Did you say soup sandwich?
She's crazy as a soup sandwich, but I'm here for it.
But you're here for it, yeah.
I'm here for it. She's something else. She is something else.
I love this episode. I feel like I'm going to love this entire season. Yeah. It feels, for some reason, fun and at the same time ridiculous, but like mm-hmm. packed full of like just good stuff. And do you guys think that Karen is a reality TV villain? And the reason I say that is because sometimes you have these... I feel like a good villain is somebody that you just love to hate, right? Like, and I don't... But it's not like she's doing anything bad, but she's... I feel like she's being painted as the villain.
She has complicated the entire, like, reality TV character. Like, this is... I've never seen such a thing, like what you were saying. It's... I have a hard time because there's nothing where I say, oh, I love everything that she's doing. That's why I like her. It's like every decision is kind of the wrong decision, but yet mm-hmm. she sells it. She has got a clapback like Kellyanne Conway had, is what I'm getting. It's like you could start coming here and the conversation will end with your mug.
Exactly.
Like, it's so weird.
Yeah.
She totally. Is definitely a shade queen because, mm-hmm. Like you said, she has a clapback for every single thing. But what she also has is a new Jaguar. $100,000 Jaguar, to be precise. What say we about this Jaguar and her jumpsuits?
Oh, I love the jumpsuits. But go ahead.
This Jaguar, you're in this situation where money is a problem, and then you show up in this Jaguar. It's just flexing, in my opinion. She is putting on this whole front, and you know I love Karen, but it's just like, well, what are you trying? What exactly are you trying to say? Like, what are you trying to do?
She's trying to make that point that this is Ray's problem and it's not my problem. That seems like the selling point for the new Jaguar.
Do we think that Jaguar was hers?
Oh, I don't. Oh, sorry.
Because, you know, I was trying to look at that license tag, but they blur it out. So I couldn't see if it, you know, was the dealer tag or if it was a rental tag. Y'all know.
No, honey, we know it's not.
So we all... think that it might not be hers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For those of you who are listening, and for those of you who are watching, and those who of you who will watch this later over and over and over again, please let us know in the comments whether or not you guys think that her car is hers. Because that's a $100,000 car. You have a $4 to $5 million tax issue. Well, excuse me.
Ray does.
Ray has that issue, guys.
So confusing. Most confusing episode of all the shows.
Ray has those tax problems. It's Ray's issue. Yeah. I wish Ray had a confessional.
Ray's not allowed to speak. She don't let it. I'm kidding.
How, like, on some of the other shows, some of the husbands have their own. And I feel like Juan has had his own confessional before, right?
Has he?
Am I making this up? Do y'all know?
No. And that was in a dream, maybe. Juan showed up in the confessional. That's not the way the dream ended, though.
No, but I really wish that he had a voice. So we could actually, because I mean, from last week, we she's basically saying still when she gets to Monique's house that she does not know, and actually that she was going to give Robin the smackdown, which could we all know that would never have happened. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. But you know, it's just interesting to hear her continue this tale.
I just want to see an edit of like her talking about this is what etiquette is in Potomac, and then like all of these actions that don't warrant.
Okay,
and then at the very end, it's like with her, you know, with a little punch. It's like Karen's book of etiquette, and then we see like a montage. That would be so funny because really she's not matching what she said.
It is hypocrisy at its finest. Yeah. Actually,
absolutely.
You know, Monique is in the new home. Do we have any thoughts about the new home?
I thought it looked pretty nice. It
looked really, really nice.
I feel like Monique does struggle with her conversational skills, so I just
ooh.
Oh, is this? Didn't know that reaction was coming.
Tell us more.
You know, I agree. So.
Continue. I mean, it felt like Karen needed one ally. She needed somebody she could talk over. Karen doesn't really like talking to the women that are going to come back and address things like an Ashley or a Giselle or a Robin.
Or a Robin, yeah.
So Monique was the proven one to sit with. And it just felt like you're watching Monique she just didn't bounce back the conversation very well at all.
Mm,
I mean, if you rewatch it, you'll be like, man, Monique didn't say anything.
Maybe I will. I mean, I just took it as she's trying to assess whatever this is that Karen is selling her.
Mm-hmm.
I really, because I mean, it's kind of confusing, right? Think about it like this. We all read mm-hmm. that Karen has, I'm sorry, how dare I? That Ray has huge tax issues.
How dare you? Come on now.
And then she shows up to your house, rolling up in this $100,000 Jaguar. Like, what do you even say or think? And if you're not that close to her, like, it's easier probably for Giselle to really confront her
mm-hmm.
because they've known each other for such a long time, and maybe even Robin because they've had just a little bit longer yeah. history. But like, if you're Monique, what are you thinking when she pulls up like this? Not to mention in this cat suit.
Yeah, <I guess. laughs> age appropriate, of course.
I mean, doesn't it just kind of seem like she's having a Mariah Carey moment?
Oh yes.
I mean,
absolutely.
No shade to Mariah. I love Mariah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. No shade to Karen either for you know, she did it. But yeah. But yeah, we all have the right to judge,
and that's why we're here. shout out to Coach G because Karen works with Coach G. He's a fitness coach in DC. I know him somewhat well. Shout out to him because he's making her look pretty good. Mm. I think that's why she's rocking those onesies.
Oh my God! There was one scene, and well, that's at the end. It was just all Karen waste, and that was a waste. Like all the way.
Snatched.
All the way. Say it again. Yep. Mm-hmm,
she is looking good.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of lookers, Shermie's back, all know how you guys love Shermie.
Zaw seems really happy with him. I'm happy for them.
She does.
They seem really happy.
You know, Wendy Williams says I have the right to reserve change my decision because I'm a woman. That's what Wendy says. But so I feel like even for me, like I could change my opinion. And this is what I will say, because we weren't doing any other judgment other than objectively of what we saw. Mm-hmm. And what I think was a little fishy by the editing team. Tell me what you guys think.
Okay.
Was that they showed every Sherman less than flattering image as we got close. And so when we first saw him, I said, oh, okay, I get it. I see it or whatever. But I think I started to see the way the editors get, like you have bad camera angles or whatnot, possibly, right? You guys, we all have bad camera, right? I felt like we only were displayed at the very beginning of who the Sherman was. If you rewatch it, you're going to see it wasn't the best. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw him, I said, oh, okay, that's good for her. I was happy for her. Yeah. I feel like I'm speaking too much about it, and I don't want to justify it. No,
because this is, if you have to paint the picture for everybody who's listening, because they need to now go back and watch it too. You know what I'm saying?
I think I know what you're talking about, though.
We are the investigators.
They had a shot that was like below his chichis, and then it went all the way up, and then the lighting was bad. And so we're used to seeing her with the other two gentlemen, mm-hmm. you know, very attractive gentlemen mm-hmm. from the prior seasons. Mm-hmm. So that's why I felt like the edit was a little fishy, because then when we did see him, I'm like, that's not at all what they painted in the preview. But that was my analysis, guys.
I don't know what to think. I mean, you know, here's the thing. I feel like, you know, last week we went definitely in on what women want versus what men want, right?
Right.
Now, it seems that she is very happy. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to leave it at that. The only thing that really bothered me about this scene was that, and y'all don't get on me because I'm not a big hair person, but I just want, if you're on TV, you should look good. And if you're not going through any type of trauma while you're on TV, right. It should definitely look good. So, and I love Giselle, but this ponytail,
oh no.
Listen, let me tell y'all something.
I'm here for a ponytail.
I'm here for it too, but let's mix the weave in properly with the natural hair. That was my only thing, Giselle. Come on now. Like, you was trying to hide it, and I could tell, because, like, there was this one strand over here that was extra long, and then there was the curls in the back.
Couldn't it have been a long day, though? Could it have been they had already went to the little frolicking situation, okay. And maybe she came back with the hair off and the knees, you know?
I'll give you that, but here's slightly. My thought. Like, you know, throw that thing back in a bun. You know, normally Giselle's hair is everything.
Yeah.
So when I'm seeing this over-the-shoulder action right here and it ain't mixed well, I'm just like, girl, come on, let's get it together.
There was nothing better than seeing a Giselle scene where she's almost in heat. I could watch that again and again. She's the queen bee of this show, and I just can't get off it.
As they frolic off into the vineyard.
Sweaty armpits and all, Sherman was about to go into town. And
to her credit, it looked like it was a hot day, though.
Hey, by the way, question to you guys. A little early, though, for the three kids moving in conversation.
Very early for that.
A little shocked there.
I mean, okay, so she says they've been talking, for like a year and a half, maybe? So, you know, it's interesting to see. Okay, so I got a question. It's slightly pertinent, but I was thinking it while I was watching the episode, and maybe you guys can shed some light on this. And I don't know what her financial situation is, but mm-hmm. if someone is receiving spousal support or child, like money for the children, does that change when the person remarries?
I don't know, actually.
I have no idea.
Because that was what I was thinking in my head, because I'm like, she was married to Pastor Jamal Bryant, who is very wealthy. And so I'm thinking to myself, she's probably very well taken care of. Yeah. So if she were to remarry, you know, do you lose that support?
I think you lose aspects of it. Like, it gets reassessed, doesn't it?
Right. I mean, I don't know. I was just kind of curious, because that was my thinking. Like, girl, are you going to lose this house? I hope he got money.
Good question.
Yeah, but she's also, trying to stake her own claim in her own life at this point, too. Yes, I understand. Yeah.
You know, I appreciate that, but I'm just saying is, listen, there's my money and your money. I would rather have my money and your money. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. You're right.
Versus just my money.
Listen.
That's just my thought.
I mean.
So if anybody who is listening or watching, y'all comment, let us know, you know, because we don't know yet. Speaking of spouses and things like that, Juan and Robin are moving two houses down, but Robin's doing all the moving.
No, he's probably helping too.
I didn't see him lift nothing.
So really, he gets the best of all worlds. He was able to step out on the relationship. She took him back.
Boom.
She's a great mother.
Boom. Probably cooks too.
She probably does. She's a good wife. That's what
she
we can say for
sure. She is the relationship.
And he comes in with a smile or two. And what does he say? Like, oh, so you're going to prove to me that I was right now or something for the next preview? Oh my gosh. Well. I don't know.
She just seems like she's hoping and wishing for something that's not going to happen.
Oh, see, I don't know.
It seems like their relationship has improved a little bit, maybe.
I mean,
She made a really good point when she was calling out Ashley later in the episode, where she was saying it's really easy for Ashley to talk about our relationship when Ashley went into it with no children and married a man that was rich. Whereas right. I knew my high school sweetheart. He did, you know, luck up on some money and we built together and we had kids. Our dynamic was unique and special. Robin, for some reason, I know it does paint a picture of her looking a little, I don't know how you would even describe it, but I don't mind her still being more giving. Like, there's a giver and a taker. Like, she's definitely giving more into this relationship. Mm-hmm. I guess it doesn't bother me because I feel like she's confident enough. And if she's happy, she's happy, you know?
Mm-hmm. As what a woman, are your thoughts? I just feel like she's setting herself up for failure. Mm-hmm. I just feel like she is. He doesn't seem like he's as invested. He's not as emotionally invested. He just, if they are doing better, which it looks like it, maybe they're building a friendship. But she's probably hoping for something more. And it doesn't look like that's what he's able to give her at this point anymore. Mm.
I don't know. Well, I feel like moving into another house should be a little clearer of a sign. The one critique I'll give for Robin is maybe not jump into getting into this new home until you guys are for sure on that same level. Mm. You know what I mean? Because that to me doesn't seem like the smartest idea.
Yeah. It's interesting to me because I feel like Robin is I feel like she's a pretty strong woman.
I think so too.
And even the strongest people can make the biggest mistakes relationship-wise, you know? Yep. But I'm hopeful for them at this point in time because you're right. They are moving into this new home. So that's yet another commitment that they're going to share together. It sounds like they're still sleeping in the same bed and still having conjugal, you know, things happen, you know, in that bed. So my hope is that for her sake and for the kids' sake, you know, that he, you know, is trying to put the pieces back together again because she seems to be very, very supportive of him throughout everything that has happened to them, you know?
You're right. I think with the move, it was like Giselle's like, oh, it's about 37 miles away. And that would have worked for their first time moving there. But now they're moving again, yet they're only moving in the same neighborhood. And the first thing that Robin does mention is, well, it's convenient for Juan.
Right.
And so to that degree, I think.
Yeah. She's sticking by and supporting him. Conversely, I would say that what I do love about Robin is that with regards to the other women, she's very good about standing up for herself. Particularly, I think we're seeing it a lot more as the seasons go.
Well, do you think it was because people thought she was a pushover the first season?
I don't know what it was. I don't have any. I feel like she wasn't really in that much of the conflict the first season. But I feel like season two, she kind of stepped it up a little bit. But yeah. Season three, I feel like.
And she pulls it back when she needs to.
Right.
Also.
Right.
This is not a one note for her.
Right.
She lets you know, I was a basketball player. Like, I've got discipline and she could come at
right.
you. But
right.
she's not doing it cliche or phony
right.
at all.
Yeah. I like that.
I think you said last week, like, she's like the dark horse. So
yeah.
that's I think everyone feels that about Robin. She's really strong.
Absolutely. So, fun part of the episode, we get to welcome a newbie named Candace.
I love her.
Thoughts. General thoughts.
I love Candace. I love her energy. I love Candace. I can tell I'm going to love her.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you relate to her?
A little. I mean, she's fun. She seems sweet. I like her. I like her. Her man Chris. Their dynamic is really cute. I like them too.
Dynamic. That sounds like a
dynamic.
We're going to come back to that because that's what Robin has thought about
Chris.
Chris.
Yeah, but are we talking about Candace
first? Let's talk about Candace first.
Okay, so Candace was really, I think we're all in agreement that she was strong.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me, the only part I didn't want Candace originally was I love this show in the fact that I like the older women. You know, I don't have a problem with the younger, but I just don't want it to turn into the Ashley, Monique, and now Candace show.
Right.
So that was my only issue going in.
I agree
in.
With that part.
I was fine with Cherie going because she was, you know, not anything of interest to me. But I loved what the show used to represent. So I was a little worried. And we talked about that last week. But no, Candace lit it up. She lit it up. She was so warm. I think she was warm on an account of being with the other women. But she was also warm in the confessional.
Yes.
Sometimes you see a difference.
Warm in her confessional. Yep.
You'll see a really socially awkward person amongst the group.
Mm-hmm.
And then a confessional that's just good for sound bites.
Right.
Are you kidding me? I want to listen to the Candace podcast. Like, she was that strong. Yeah.
I think you mentioned it earlier when we were before we came into the room that she can tell a great story.
Yes.
And just listening to her, you know, sort of take us through this relationship that she had been through, like, you know, to get from where they met at the restaurant to where they are now. And for her to be so candid about the fact that, yeah, I was hosting. Like, I've done all of these amazing things, but at the same time, truth be told, people still host. And they, you know what I mean? Like, well, I thought that was a great thing.
Well, people still host, but she said she came from wealth, though, right?
She describes her background as like the Huxtables.
Very interesting. So I don't know what that meant, but I just picked up on the fact that she said that.
Yeah.
So maybe it was part-time. I don't know.
Yeah. No, she's so lovable. Like, this was a home run. I think a part of me or you or all of us maybe likes her a little bit more because we feel that, like, it's a sort of a threat to Monique.
probably.
I don't, like, I'm saying, like, secretly from... No, because I think... No, the comment was... Monique says, "You have such a familiar face." And then in my mind, I'm like, "Oh, it's because it's the face that's going to take your spot in the next season." That's the familiarity you're seeing, Monique. But that's all me just being petty. But excluding that, Candace was great.
Yeah, I absolutely loved her. She had great energy. I love it when someone comes onto a show and they have their own personality.
Absolutely,
and it's just really like. It's almost like, I feel like when you come onto a show like this, you have to have a personality that's almost as big as, this could be my own show.
Mm-hmm.
Some women don't come into the franchises that way, you know what I'm saying? And some of them do, and they end up being really strong players for the rest of the seasons that they're on the show.
Right, some don't come, and then over time, they start to build their personalities.
Exactly. You're right. It was like she came in so strong, I felt like it was a new series where you're relearning the cast members, and she was the first story.
Yep.
And the way she told that proposal story, and I had my friends from here come in, and his parents. Yeah, we're into her. She's a very strong first impression.
Yeah. And so let's go into, because he's there, thoughts about Chris, her husband, soon to be husband.
You liked it?
I liked him.
Do you have a reason why?
So obviously, I feel like maybe you have a different opinion.
I know.
I'm picking up on that. But I liked him. I mean, I like their dynamic. They seem really cute. He seems really, I don't know, likable.
I listed him, and this is so disrespectful, so I don't mean it. Again, this must be like the second petty thing I've said in the sentence. But I when I take my notes, I listed him as like the boyfriend. I couldn't really list him as the fiance because I just don't see him coming along this journey all the way through.
Why?
Why is that? I wanted to ask why outside, but I wanted to wait. I wanted to wait until we got in here for you to talk about it.
I guess I don't have anything. Let me think about it and give like a stronger answer.
That's fair.
But
That's fair.
It's an instinct that I have that I don't feel like he is fully connected with her. And if she's gonna go and be on a show that is typically messy, I don't know that he's gonna go on that train very well. Mm. That's more what it is. It's like like Juan and Robin, you know, they have a shaky relationship. It was really challenging to put that on TV. It would have been shaky anyways. So that's more what I get with him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that foundation strong enough to go beyond boyfriend to fiance?
That's a very good question.
But who knows? Like a player vibe from him or something like that?
I don't know. And it definitely didn't hurt my argument with the, you know, three children, two baby mothers, he's a restaurateur, I think. But then it's like, is it rolling with her? Brings up his cachet. I mean, these are really things we have to think about if we're being critical. But hey, if they're living their best life, we love you.
Yes, best life.
I see your point, though. I see where you're coming from, though. I see how you can pick up on that. I can see it, too.
You know, particularly with that whole... because I think she was telling the story so well. I kind of glazed over the fact that, he had three kids.
She sells me. She sold me completely.
Yeah. I mean, she said it, but I was just so captivated. I was just like, tell me more.
Right.
But I'm not listening. I'm watching. Tell me more, though. You know what I mean?
Like, right. If she came into here and we did an interview, she would tell me about the Chris. I'd be like... we'd walk out here. I'd be like, you know what? You were damn right. Can we invite Chris to a barbecue? You know, she could sell me. She's really sellable.
Come back next week, girl.
Yeah, thank you, Candace.
Okay, so we meet Candace at Ashley's Bliss brunch event.
Bliss brunch,
which, okay, so this is just coming from someone who lived in D.C. for a very long time. I don't know why you wouldn't have thought of having a brunch event sooner, because brunch is huge in D.C.
Yeah.
So the fact that, it took y'all 3 years to come up with this idea? Seriously. Okay, so I had to say that. Did you detect some, like, I don't know, jealousy coming from Ashley when Monique and Candace were kind of bonding?
I picked up on that really quickly. I felt like
I detected that.
I did too.
Really now?
Yeah. They were bonding and she was just kind of sitting back and just watching. It was almost as if she didn't feel that connection. I mean, obviously, Candace is her friend from the pageant world. However, those two just instantly clicked. And you can tell she felt a little left out, maybe.
This is good while we do the show, the after show, because I never picked up on that.
I picked up on that. I'll rewatch, but I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, I picked up on that, like, when she was sort of, like, watching them and comparing them to yapping dogs.
Oh, yeah, that part.
And then I want to read something that, just, this is not news and gossip, it just correlates with what I'm thinking, is Monique posted on her Bravo blog that, when she met Candace, there was so much positive energy that even when Ashley tried to stir the drama with her question of which one of the women I was referring to, I quickly ignored it. So she's calling Ashley messy for asking Monique which of the women Monique was referring to when she said that there were some women in the group who were pretend like high society or something like that. So, you know, I feel like Monique detects some interesting vibes from Ashley as well.
Yeah.
Well, that may play out. You guys are smart because I never saw it. I guess I was still engaged so much in Candace that I didn't look elsewhere to see that maybe Ashley will start to have a problem. And I think she makes like a light fun jab about like the differences in the pageant circuit.
She did.
She did.
It was one of those things where I was like, is she trying to be funny, like a funny joke? Or like, is that like direct shade?
Yeah. And it was very funny. It was really, really good. It was like,
it was that air-haired shade. You know, she has that kind of shade.
Exactly.
That I didn't know that was shade, but girl, you know the shade.
It was the unaccountable shade. Like, she was able to do it, but she could back up later and be like, I was just having fun.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, we will see, Ashley.
speaking of messy, let's get to this press conference with no press.
Oh, Lord.
And a random assistant and a waiter.
Karen. It got stacked up pretty funny, didn't
okay, it? So Karen, you know, calling all the ladies to, you know, hold this sort of press conference. Listen, the first thing, I just wanted to say, why wouldn't you have some drinks there?
Exactly.
If you're going to bring these women, just have some drinks and some food. Satisfy the people. Make this whole thing happen a little easier for yourself.
It was so intense and just like, we're just all sitting at this table. I thought that a lawyer was going to come out and I didn't know what was going on.
Well, and she listed it when she was talking about inviting everybody. This is an execution. I mean, I was like,
it's your execution.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She stated to the women, I want to hear what you have to say. She looks at all of them and then she goes on to say, but I'm not into the gang style mentality, attack, attack, attack. And if I get an inkling, if that's what your idea is, then this meeting will be shut down abruptly. Wow. So you're basically saying you need them to be here. I want to hear from you. But the moment you say stuff that makes me feel like you're all against me, then the meeting is over. Like in that case, why don't you just recite, a letter, have somebody read it and just give your viewpoints as presented to the people? Because what you were doing is you're asking people to take you, but not take them as a reactionary.
Right. I agree. She should have had a new assistant read some type of formal documentation, you know, stating what was the truth or her version of the truth, and just left it at that.
Yeah.
Like, if you really don't want to hear anybody's opinion, then you can't really invite them there and expect them not to.
Of course not. Yeah.
You know, and I was living for Giselle's shirt. I was living for it. Living for that.
Real petty and shady, but,
Very petty and shady. I thought that the ladies made some good points throughout this entire execution. I felt like they made very valid points. Granted, we discussed, this is Karen Huger. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Ray's business. But, you know, at the end of the day, one, it was posted in the Washington Post. Two, that's a blog. And it was on several blogs. But what do you guys think about the ladies retweeting that stuff?
I'll let you grab this one first.
Jesus Christ. Shade, shade, shade. But can I just go into the fact that, you know, I said, and I still stand by this, I said it's her business. Mm-hmm. It's not their business. But she's inviting these women to explain herself. She is basically giving the assumption, giving the illusion that she's going to tell the truth. And then she's defensive and she's still lying and she's putting on this front. And it just all makes her look like a complete nut job. Completely.
Except the bodysuit. She'd look good there. But
yet another bodysuit.
Another bodysuit. She's going to let you know how that waistline was doing.
Okay.
There's the win. Don't say anything.
I was,
just
like,
say.
Confused by the camouflage in that wig. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. Giselle did have a really strong commentary about that. She goes, well, clearly he's not the waiter. He's not the accountant. And he's definitely not the hairdresser.
Oh.
That was classic Giselle.
Oh, yeah. Well, that hair was a little crazy.
Yeah.
That hair was wild.
I don't know where she got that from.
Looked really 80s Janet Jackson or something. I don't know
what
was going on.
Well, because she had an 8 for 17 days. So that's why. I mean, this was an execution. She wasn't caring about her hair.
She wasn't eating because she was too busy paying for that Jaguar.
Oh, my goodness.
Listen.
I wasn't too, and it might just be my allegiance to Giselle. I didn't think it felt like par for the course in the fact that it was like, this is the reality show. You're entwined as part of the cast members. People are constantly asking you about the other cast members. It wasn't necessary, you know, it was meanie-ish, you know, from Giselle, but it shouldn't have warranted so much aggression from Karen. And the only reason aggression was taken was because she's so defensive about the lies she's trying to juggle.
Exactly.
You know, I still say Giselle's my number one, but and what's funny is in this show, Karen is still my number two. Would you believe that?
I believe that.
I love Karen as well.
They're very strong players on this show.
She's still my number two, but the weird thing is with Giselle being my number one, I agree with almost everything she does. With Karen, she's my number two. Can't get enough of her. Want more of it. But I don't agree with half of the moves. So it's something I've never really seen in reality TV, you know?
I can definitely get what you're saying. I feel like the tweets are a place I wouldn't have gone. You know, because I feel like there's a certain line that even if I'm having an issue with you that I'm just not going to cross.
Right.
I don't care if it's for TV or what. Especially if I've known you for a long time. If I see that you are having some sort of like tax issues. Listen, financial issues for anybody, those are difficult things. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, we might talk about, you know, well, it still looks kind of like this might be why you moved out and you downsized. Those questions are valid, right? But I feel like to sort of retweet some of those things are kind of like, you know, we don't need to do that because they're going through the issue right now.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And that's a huge burden, you know?
Well, then I think in that viewpoint, Monique made a great example when they're all sort of getting a little louder. Monique was like, we just need to know the information. And something like,
right.
And I was the best Monique comment I've heard so far. It was like, we don't have the information. We can't really support you.
Right. And
so,
I will back you up, but I cannot back up what I don't know.
You know, and Karen does have to take a realization that, like, while, like you're saying, like, Giselle's comments are a little bit petty, if Karen doesn't give anything to go off of, you know, the women are going to be up to their noses in you know, what's wrong with Karen? What's up with Karen? What's up with Karen? So you put them in a really awkward position. You know, no one has a problem with Karen or the challenge. You know,
right?
They have a problem with the manipulation.
Boom, that part.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel like the manipulation comes in because she still wants to carry this crown of being the grand dame.
That's exactly. It's pride. It's ego. It's all of that.
She sure is still the grand dame though on a lot of levels.
That's my thing, right? If you're wearing a crown, that's not really attached to a monetary value at this point in life. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's classic Karen. Yeah.
You know, it's really more attached to who you are, how you carry yourself. Because guess what? We don't look at Giselle and think, oh my gosh, she's just so rich and that's why we like her.
Right.
We like her for so many other reasons. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, Karen was the grand dame on the farm, and Karen may not want to go back to the farm, but she has to.
That's what you need to show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I came from nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I could have everything taken away from me, but I can still bounce back.
Right. And you could even make...
That's the narrative, I think.
And you even mentioned... So a lot of people give her grief for like, oh, you know, she was very arrogant or etiquette this, etiquette that, and her life is not matching it. But... And why, you know, the Black Bill Gates and all of these different narratives and how it doesn't really match to where she's at. I think she gets torn down a lot by that. And I don't think that's fair if she lets them all know that she did all of that with a sense of pride because she had come from nowhere.
Right.
And I think it's very easy for everyone to be like, oh, that's very stuck up of her to think these ways and to say I'm above and etiquette this, etiquette that. But if you let everyone know your story, I don't know that anyone could really knock you for it, especially now, you know, especially now that she's on the, you know, you're on the come up and now you're on the come down.
Right. But I mean, you're still a part of the show, so you still have opportunity. And granted, tax issues happen to so many people that at the end of the day, to be very truthful, if he's a successful businessman, he will make a lot and he will lose a lot and he will make a lot more.
Exactly.
That's really just how the business world works.
I mean, what's going to happen with the relationship with Ray? I mean, everything from the empty nest stuff to the actual stuff that's going on with the taxes. Like, are they just not really ready to go to the next chapter in this relationship?
It seems like that way.
Well, I don't know, because it's been interesting because since the show's come out, she's been posting a lot of, like, photos with, you know, of her and Ray and, you know, love and light and all that good stuff. So it would seem as though, I don't know, this is Karen, classic Karen cleanup, you know.
Exactly.
But it seems like she's trying to push this narrative that everything is all gravy in the Huger household. I do want to address something else because it was glazed over, but it could be a whole storyline in and of itself. And that is Michael swinging his ding-a-ling on Instagram, according to Karen. And I did some research on this.
Oh, did you? Okay.
And as I was clicking links and clicking links.
Do you
links,
wonder what the research is?
No, but listen, I was.
We should go to commercial because
I was on, let me tell you which website I was on.
Here we go.
This is, okay, so this is going to be news and gossip right here.
Okay, yeah.
News and gossip. I have been thinking about this all day.
So this is in reference to the moment Ashley starts getting ready to confront Karen. Karen almost has this in her back pocket. Like, she's going to throw the fact that Michael's his name, right?
Yes.
Michael's been slanging it, you know, out there.
Slinging it with a...
Yeah.
Apparently, he met someone on a social app while in the UK. And they had some sort of tryst or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Michael bought this young fellow some things, you know. And I guess he exposed all of their messages. Mm-hmm. Once he found out that Michael was married and a part of the show.
Because apparently he had no idea.
Right. And if you guys actually want to see photos of Michael swinging.
Oh, no.
Online, you can visit the Good Time, thegoodteatime.com.
Oh!
And there.
Not the Good Time Tea.
Down, if you, it's a Housewives related blog.
Good Tea Time, T-E-A, okay. Correct?
Yeah, got Good it. Tea Time. Just go to that on Instagram and then click on the link in their bio and it will take you to the story. And you will be able to see all the photos that you need of Mr. Michael in all his glory. And the messages as well to back and forth between him and the guy he was apparently with.
So the accusation is that he's with the lover.
Mm-hmm.
He's hiding it.
Right.
And he's paying for it.
There was no mention about paying or anything like that, but, you know, the story just kind of gives you a lot more detail about their situation. I don't want to call it a relationship or whatever it was, and the photos that Michael sent.
And Michael also had no problem.
Warning, they are explicit.
Oh, okay. On all fours. No, it's okay. I've not seen all that. So let's do the mathematics. So Michael is in this situation, supposedly, allegedly. And then Michael also has never had children as well. Michael is with a young girl out of his league type thing. And they live separately on occasions. And Michael also ran into them at the club. Wow. Okay. So I'm just doing all the mathematics of the.
This was a good refresher for anyone who was, you know, tuning in case they forgot.
Did I tell you I rewatched season one? I did tell you I rewatched season one, episode one, just to really like solidify like who I was siding with on all accounts. And still, Giselle was like a pit bull from the beginning. Still loved Karen from the beginning. Still could not take an ounce of the crab boil that was Cherie. Yeah.
That was such a good episode. That was a great introduction to the ladies. I will tell you that. Okay, so really, I'm hoping that this is something that develops. I mean, not that I want, you know, to see the demise of any relationship, but I want to know more about this situation because they kind of just glazed over it, and I was like, whoa. Right. Nobody's going to jump on this.
I think it'll come up because a lot of tension is going to come into Ashley with the mother and Michael, and so by way of an explosion. it'll jump back in.
All right. Well, since we're talking about it, let's get into some predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV prediction.
So we really didn't get, I feel like this whole press conference ended like it was a cliffhanger. What are we seeing for next week's episode? Because we see Karen storming out of the restaurant talking about she, that was so dirty of her, that was a low blow. Who do we think she's talking about?
Giselle.
It's a gun. She'll always blame Giselle now. She went at Twitter a little bit with Giselle today. She said the press conference, I don't read very well, can you tell? The press conference with no press was a huge success, so she's making fun at herself. Now I see each and every one of these ladies for who they truly are. On to bigger and better things. Life is too short. Real Housewives of Potomac. She hashtags. So then Giselle says, let me be your friend. And I don't know if that's like a direct reference or it's like a open-ended type thing. Well, Miss Karen definitely jumped right on that and said, only when you learn how to be one. And then in regards to the fact that Karen also cut off her assistant, you know, and barber waiter, you know, young Matthew, who watches After Buzz, by the way. She said, I apologize to Matt during the conversation. I was attempting to make it a point with the ladies. My bad. So she at least had some type of, you know, good humility about the
etiquette,
the mistake, you know, cutting off your own team member. But I like the way Monique was like, if we're gonna have extra people, I would have brought my people here too.
Okay, I was like, okay, attorneys and such.
But I think this is what we love about Karen. If that initial tweet that I was talking about was, she made a little fun at her own self too, saying it's a press conference with no press. Yeah. Like this is why we love Karen. Well, I don't think we're gonna see one layer. We're gonna see a lot of different, you know, sides of her. So I'm hopeful for that. Yeah.
Okay. And what about you? What are we thinking about next week's episode or the few episodes coming up?
Well, next week, I think she's definitely going to probably get into it again with one of the ladies. I'm thinking maybe Giselle or Robin.
How do you all think Candace will do?
She'll do really good. Speaking on the whole Candace and Ashley and Monique, that whole situation, I think that's going to be a little bit of cattiness, and I think it's going to be coming from Ashley.
Yeah, I feel like that situation is going to... I feel like something's brewing there, and I don't really know how or where or why, but I feel like something is about to occur there.
Yeah. Like, do you think Ashley will get threatened by... She's not the young one anymore?
I don't know. I think it's going to be one of those situations where it's something that we don't see coming happens.
Yeah, like Candace and Monique or something weird like that.
It turns the whole situation around.
Yeah.
My bet is that it's going to come from an accident that Monique has coming up. Because she was in an accident at some point in the season.
Oh, yeah. That's a tough one.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, it's on to a good episode, too. I was pleasantly happy just eating popcorn while the show had been had. I hope the ladies did okay. You know, it's an emotional show to film, you know.
I love this season because I feel like as much as I hate to see any family or marriage go through like these types of issues, it makes for compelling television to watch them get to the other side, hopefully.
Yeah, and I want them to sprinkle in some of the good things, too. So absolutely. We all have our decisions of like what we feel with Robin and Juan. But like, to me, it was a really cool, good girlfriend moment when Robin was really excited. Like, oh, I think it would be fun to go on a double date with Giselle.
Yeah.
I don't want to just hear the yelling all the time. I need it to be mixed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I look forward to seeing, you know, that Sherman, Giselle.
Yeah.
And
I agree. And all of their ups and downs and just these real situations make these characters relatable.
They do.
Relatable to everyday people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
they do.
Yeah.
And that is why we keep watching. That's all we have for this week. I'm your boy, DJ Richie Sky. You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Sky. Where can they find you guys?
Hey, Ronnie Jr. My social media is RandomlyRJ.
Hey, everyone. My social media is Nigeria.Manal. Buzz you later.
And be sure to find us on all things AfterBuzz TV, all of our other shows. Be sure to rate us 5 stars, comment, share, like. We will comment back, and we'll see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.